audience.
Arrange.
Okay, we got you. How are you? Is this Mr. Roberts?
Hello?
Mike Roberts, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Is this Ken?
This is Ken, the passionate entrepreneur. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. Wonderful.
Thank you so very much for taking some time to come on the show.
Well,
now, go ahead. You have a book out now. And the title of the book is, which is very interesting.
And the title is Action Has No Ceiling, Strategies and Secrets to Gaining Wealth and Authority. It's a book that I wrote after, completely building a company that actually has about 72 companies, and I have over 1,000 employees.
72 companies?
Yes, sir. I mean, we're the largest African-American owner of hotels, largest African-American owner of TV stations. We have 4 stations, 11 hotels we own and manage. We also are the largest non-public tower company in America. To go on, I wouldn't want to. I don't mind bragging because Muhammad Ali once said, "It ain't bragging if you can back it up." But I think black folks sometimes need to hear from some success stories, and one of the ways to do that is by writing a book.
Now, why did you write this book, Action Has No Ceiling? Did you write it with entrepreneurs in mind, or?
Totally, yes. Well, I wrote it first with the idea that I have 4 children. I have 3 who finished law school and 1 who's in law school. They're all being geared to take over the business that my brother and I built. Now, the thing is, we enjoy absolutely the opportunity to, have a business and share in, the abundant life that good businesses bring. But we felt that it's more important to make sure that the next generation understands and can learn from us exactly what types of, secrets and strategies go into building businesses. I think that, what we've learned is that within our community, folks do well, then they get real quiet, as if somebody's going to take something from them if they talk too much. And my attitude is, what are they going to take from you anyway? And what did you have before you started? We have an obligation to pass knowledge on to the next generation, to allow for them to be informed as opposed to starting over. I mean, I know when I finished law school and my brother, who's my partner, finished, it was as if we're starting all over again. There was no uncle there that had been having dinner with our father every Wednesday to talk about, what types of issues existed that week in their business, personnel, supply vendor issues, et cetera. No, we didn't have anything like that. My daddy worked at the post office for 39 years. So what we've realized is the best thing for us to do is to come up with these ideas that we're actually implementing and decided I'm going to put them in a book, for my kids and people who may be coming along behind us. And that's why I wrote the book.
So everybody, lots of people write books. And we don't want to reveal everything within the book, but what will people get out of this book that they won't get out of another book on business?
Well, I think that's a very good question. I mean, the premise, begs the question. When other people wrote their book, many of them are writing books that are trying to tell you how to think and how to grow rich and how this and that. And I'm not trying to be disparaging upon others, but the reality is the only folks that really became rich were the ones who actually wrote the book. In my case, I became very wealthy first, and then I wrote the book.
Oh, okay.
And so, when I speak directly from a position of knowledge and strength that many of them don't have. And again, I'm not trying to put myself in a position that says, one is better than the other, but I can assure you that the nature of my words are based with hard experience. Now, it's really both an anecdotal supported book, but it's a lot of philosophy in it. I coined the word the actionaire.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yes, sir. Right. I'm reading your mind there, bro.
Well, you're
but
good.
But But what is an actionaire? An actionaire is one who takes their ideas, their dreams, their aspirations, their vision, and they pursue it with courage and confidence and bravado. How many times have we had people make this statement? Oh, I had that idea 3 years ago. You did? And somebody else has taken this idea and made millions. Well, what stood between you and your millions was action. And that's why the phrase, the term action has no season, is an important term to me and in the book. You know, every day we're given 86,400 seconds. That's 24 hours. And in that time period, you have to use every second to its fullest extent, kind of an existential perspective, but that's what the actionaire does. He or she takes the position that either you use it or you lose it. Now, unfortunately, too frequently, what we see are people who are so stuck in memories, and they're eliminating the opportunities for their imagination or their dreams. And when you dream, you know, the first thing you have to do to make it a reality is wake up. And what I'm trying to do is wake our community up to realize that there's no such thing as failure. And if we could eliminate the fear of failure, what would your life be like? And to your many listeners, I want them to think about that for a moment. You know, fear, failure, two different words. Let's break them up and break them down into two concepts. First of all, what is fear, really? It is a mental construct. It is not of nature. It is not, it is not grass growing or snow falling. It's a mental construct that you can dispense with if you choose to by just letting it go. Second word was failure. Well, what is that? I don't think there's any such thing as a failure. Now, there are experiences where the experience, the outcome of the experience might lead us to not what we would have liked. However, it's an experience. We learn from it. We gain from it. Call it an experience. So if we could eliminate the fear of failure, how many projects, how many businesses, you know, how many opportunities might we be able to today go on out and fulfill if we do it? Now, that's the reason my company is so diversified. We have so many companies because we have no fear of failure. We believe that everything is an experience. You know, we believe in not hovering on memories, but living on imagination and being a present and forward-thinking individual.
All right. I have a question. You graduated from law school, you and your brother, and then you decided to not work at the post office, and you could have probably had a law career. Why did you decide to launch and embrace entrepreneurship and become an entrepreneur?
I think that's a great question. You know, we didn't want to go broke for starters, which was our mantra. You know, my brother asked me when he finished law school, he said, well, Mike, you want me to come out, you want me to help? Then, you know, well, what's our business plan? I said, don't go broke. Three words, no problem.
Hey, let me write that down. Don't go broke. Okay, got it.
Yeah, right. That's your business plan. and I said to him, at that time, as he was finishing, I had been elected to the St. Louis City Council. 2 years later, he was elected to the City Council. And we were sort of, as in our 20s, guys that were beginning to get notoriety because it was unusual for two brothers to be on the same major city council. Mm-hmm. And from that, we were looking at exploring opportunities inside of the wards that we represented, buying buildings that, you know, folks were walking away from. You know, parents may have owned it, kids don't want to be in the neighborhood, so they walk away. Now, I say this frequently because I travel quite extensively. Recently, I was in South Africa and in Dubai. And no matter what people say globally about how folks criticize the United States today, the reality is they all want to live in the United States. And they want to live in our neighborhoods in the United States. And that's why I tell folks, please, whatever happens, do not let your grandmama's house go for back taxes. Because in no time at all, it will be some of the most valuable property on the face of the earth. And that's our legacy. That is the legacy that they will be leaving to you. And it is something we have to embrace and not walk away from thinking that, you know, we need to be, you know, in a nice little suburban house out in the county someplace. We better look at what's happening with the urban environment. The reason my brother and I are developing always shopping centers and residential developments and converting schoolhouses into apartments. As they sell off the schoolhouses, we're taking them and using historic tax credits and building nice, beautiful homes, apartments, and condos in these properties because we know that folks are coming back. The baby boomers, 78 million of us, 73 million of us, you know, have all the money. And now we're moving through the levels where we're leaving one job and moving into another phase. See, I don't ever use the word retire because I don't think one should. I think we should always find our purpose, continue to play into our purposes, and never retire. You may change, but don't just stop working. After all, we're homo sapiens like any other animal on the face of the earth. And you tell me another animal that, quote, retires. If a lion retires, what's going to happen? He's going to be his brother's breakfast the next morning, you know. So, I mean, you know, really, I mean, what we have to do is face the fact that we have a lot of internal opportunities that are inside of us that we need to bring out. Now, because if you look at business opportunities in the going forward, you know, you have all of these service industries that would be needed for the baby boomers. You have alternative fuel sources. I'm sort of a futurist. I mean, we get into a variety of businesses that people are looking and saying, well, you know, why are you going there? Okay, a great example was in the late 90s, I decided we were going to go into the digital phone business. At the time, it was analog phones. Remember those old cell phones? It was snap,
oh,
crackle,
yeah,
drop.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you know, you
I
heard
remember the dial phones.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. Well, but, I mean, you know, and when the coolest person in the theater was the one that had a briefcase that had a phone in it, you know. Now
yeah.
We all have phones, and we're all digital, you see. I moved into the digital business when we opened up Roberts Wireless in Missouri. It became the Sprint affiliate and was the only African-American company ever in history to actually build and operate a phone company. We then took it public, merging with three other affiliates with the largest stockholders of that company. And then eventually Sprint rolled us up. You know the sound of a roll-up in the private business sector? You ever
ching,
heard of that
ching.
Sound? Cha-ching, cha-ching. Cha-ching, cha-ching. But, yeah, man, I mean, you know, we like to keep it loose, keep it easy. But the reality is there's some wonderful, robust business opportunities that are out here for our folks, and we need to certainly embrace all of those opportunities.
Well, let's talk about that. I had another question about community and entrepreneurship because you've done some amazing things in St. Louis. When you think about community and entrepreneurship, they go together. Why did you decide to invest in your own community? Where did you see the opportunity there? Why did you go there?
I think there's a phrase called low-hanging fruit. I mean, when you look at the value of the asset value of real estate in the community I was born in, and just two blocks from where I was born, I still office today. But I office uniquely in a building that was once occupied and owned by the Sears and Roebuck Company. They moved out of the African-American communities all over the United States as the community went from white to brown to black. And as we saw that taking place, you know, as it was the browning of the neighborhood, if you will, they took off. And so my brother and I decided we weren't going to let this 200,000 square foot monolith be, you know, left there vacant to be infestated with crime and pestilence in our old neighborhood. So we decided we're going to buy that building. We did. Now it's over 3,000 people coming per day for the goods and services. We turn it into an enclosed mall. We then bought the rest of the neighborhood and we've built a strip shopping center on Martin Luther King Kings Highway. The same strip shopping center that the banks would not finance because they didn't understand, you know, the quote model of building on Martin Luther King and Kings Highway. Mm-hmm. Now, to your listeners, you know, when you think of Martin Luther King Boulevard in any city, what do you think of? I mean, do you think of some?
I live right off of 12th Street in Detroit, so which is Martin Luther King Boulevard.
So
yeah.
I mean, so it's not exactly, you know, the most pristine street in a given community, and yet we named it after Dr. Martin Luther King. Frankly, I think that it is our obligation to make that street and that be a proud symbol again, not for somebody to, you know, come riding in, you know, and trying to do something for us. No, I think we have to do it. So when the banks wouldn't finance that 42,000 strip shopping center we wanted to build on Martin Luther King and Kings Highway, my brother, Steve, and I wrote the $4 million check, We built it ourselves, and as a result, we became, the developer in our neighborhood, and we continue to become the developer in our neighborhood.
Okay, but you graduated from law school and you started a business.
Yes, sir.
How were you so successful doing? Because you couldn't write a $4 million check or $1 million check.
No.
How did that start for you? Because we have entrepreneurs that are just getting started. People are struggling a little bit, and they want to know, what's the secret to the success? How do you get to the point that you're at?
Well, I think if they read my book, Action Has No Season, and
right.
I think you're going to put it up at themichaelvroberts.com, it's my webpage, it's going to answer much of that. But I think the point of the Actionaire is that. It's to take your ideas, your dreams, your visions, and your passion, and pursue it with courage and confidence and bravado. Remember that if we eliminate the fear of failure, because again, we describe fear, but failure is nothing more than an idea, an effort that really is an experience. It's not a failure. It's just something that didn't quite go the way you wanted it to go, but you learned from it.
So you always more than just have an idea. You've got to have passion with that. You've got to have the power, empower yourself, and focus on the profit opportunities there.
Yes, sir, that's exactly right. And if you find yourself too busy looking for an excuse not to do something, there's always, that Aunt Susie who's ready to say, well, Uncle Joe tried to go in business for himself once. Maybe you better just find a good job. Well, you're going to ignore that type of comment. You really have to take it on. And what is there to lose? I mean, there's nothing. You can only gain from it. I mean, we had businesses where the outcome wasn't where we wanted it to be, of course, like everyone else. However, it didn't stop us from trying some other and being diversified in your business models. Look for different business opportunities that can sometimes are right in the middle, right in your face, and you
never
see. Your eyes are closed. And hey, here's a good example. Let me just make this analogy.
And I was going to ask you about opportunity. We got maybe another 5 minutes or so. I don't want to keep you because I know you're making money. You're clocking dollars and
well,
you want to get off the phone.
Actually, I just spoke to the Black Chamber of Commerce in Atlanta. This evening, I'm speaking to the National Association of Black Hotel Owners, Operators, and Developers. I am the largest African-American owned and operated hotelier in the United States with 11 hotels. These are all things that I do as part of my charity, my philanthropy, if you will. I mean, it is important, I think, for us to give back and for us to be available and accessible. I mean, guys like me who've made hundreds of millions of dollars don't need to sit back and try to just, play like if you say too much, somebody's going to take it from you. What are they going to take from you? They never gave it to you in the first place. You had to earn it. And our young people need to see people like me. I mean, normally, what they think is for you to be wealthy, you have to have a ball in your hand, or you have to be a rapper, or you have to be an illegal pharmacist, okay?
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Why can't we have, you're doing it today. I mean, why not have the success stories talk about success and what it takes and being proactive and why don't we, we hear the issues of Obama and we've seen some other people who have made some negative statements about him and so on and so forth that are coming out of our community. Why? We all know these are silly statements. It doesn't make sense. We don't need to sit around and talk about it. What we need to do is realize that there's bright lines between the civil rights activities of our subculture group, of politics, and they shouldn't be confused. It's not one or the other. It's separate. And the economic side of our community.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you blend your religious piece all through all of that. But basically, there's the civil rights issue, there's the political issues, and there's the economic issues. And what we need to do is maybe lift those who are leading the way in the economic issues and quit only talking about the political and the civil rights, because too frequently, all of them are trying to get to the economic issues. Well, if we got somebody in the economic success category, let's start to bring those folks to the forefront and make those the examples for our young people coming up.
All right. Now, there's been recently challenges in the United States and the U.S. with, Andy Mack Bank failure a couple days ago. And let's talk about opportunity with the few minutes that we have remaining. Where is the opportunity now? How would you define opportunity? And for entrepreneurs that are just getting started or entrepreneurs have been in business for 5, 10, you know, 15 years, how would you define opportunity and how do you take advantage of
it? I think that's a good question. If we consider, first of all, that we're in a global economy, and what we need to do is look at, you know, what are the goods and services that we can produce. You know, today our jobs are very fungible. People who work for companies could have their jobs taken away from them. They can be outsourced to, and they have been to, many third world countries. So we have to be very careful that if we build a career around somebody's job, then are we in fact protecting our future? There was a time when maybe we could say that, but I think we have to be very mindful that things are changing. So if you are providing a service for a company, I think we have to be mindful that we can provide the same service for several companies. It's what I call the plug-in, plug-out scenario of business. On a global basis, you know, if you're a PR firm and a marketing firm, then instead of just working in a department, you know, for one company, be in a position where you can have several companies where you can plug in your services and plug out and make money as you move globally. That can even be done just over the internet. I mean, don't ignore the power of that. The ability to be able to buy and sell products in the comfort of your own home is out there. If we look at the potential of green builds and green environments, all of the issues that are going to surround that, alternative fuel sources, but also building green and the building products that are going to go into it, right? Like using recycled product to create drywall, foam insulated concrete, geothermal heating and cooling. All these considerations are going in today, and are we all thinking about what roles we can play in light of that? I mentioned earlier that there's a tremendous a target group with the baby boomers who are coming along with more money than they've ever had, and they're going to be putting in a position where they're going to be out to do more things with their money. That's one of the reasons why I think we should look at owning hotels. More people are going to travel at the end before it's over. They're going to look for places to go and things to do. I am chairman of the board of the National Association of Black Hotel Owners, Operators, and Developers. Our national convention is in Atlanta today, tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday morning of this week. We will be bringing forth information regarding the ABCs of hotel ownership. The organization is called the National Association of Black Hotel Owners, Operators, and Developers. The webpage is NABHOOD, NABHOOD.com. They can learn more about us.
And can you give that website one more time?
Yes, I can. NABHOOD, NABHOOD.com, the National Association of Black Hotel Owners, Operators, and Developers. Now, at this conference, we'll learn the ABCs of ownership, but also we'll be dealing with folks who want to supply goods and services to hotels, who want to meet different types of hotel brands, management companies, brokers, folks who are buying and selling hotels. Basically, a hotel ownership operations, if you will, is like a three-legged stool. It's the owner, the brand or the flag, or the franchise, and the management. The owner might manage, the flag might manage, or the owner might choose a third-party management company. You know, a flag like a Marriott or like in Atlanta, we have Crown Plaza in Marietta. Our hotel in St. Louis is the Roberts Mayfair Wyndham Hotel. So when you look at, you know, our various hotels, whether it's in Memphis, Houston, Dallas, Shreveport, Spartanburg, Tampa, Atlanta, Fort Myers, we have three in St. Louis. Many of them have different brands, and so my management company has to learn how to manage them. My point is, at this conference, you know, we will be there to provide free information to folks interested in broadening their portfolio, folks who may be looking at leaving one job opportunity and trying to create a new one. We think that as we go forward and we get a more aging community, there's going to be a lot more travel and a lot more opportunities for those in the hotel space.
That's going on this weekend?
That's correct. The opening session is actually this evening. at the Marriott Century Plaza, and we'll be there for 3 days.
Okay. All right then. And so we're out of time, but for our listeners, what in closing, what advice would you offer entrepreneurs?
Well, my strongest advice is to find out who you are and what is your passion and interest. I mean, everybody's not, you know, engineered, if you will, the same. You know, but one of the things that I've learned is that we frequently try to base our business on empirical knowledge. In other words, knowing, you know, writing a great business plan and believing that this business plan is supposed to work because it's written perfectly. The reality is you have to be in touch with your instinct. You have to be able to be in touch with that gut feeling. The old folks call it, you know, that inner voice, the mother wit. A lot of times you have to realize that if you don't allow your instincts to govern, I mean, so you could have a great business plan and it'll fail because you don't have any instinct to where or vision to where it's going to go. On the other hand, you might have great instinct, great vision, and a so-so business plan, but you'll succeed. Because, A, you have to show up, and you have to be there, and you have to work, and you can get you can achieve your success through, and you know, meeting your passion through, you know, hard, focused considerations. Now, everybody can say, well, I work hard. Well, but are you working smart? Are you blending all the resources that you have? You know, are you really seeking, you know, mentoring assistance from different individuals? What are the different things that's going on? That's making, you know, you who you are, and making your business work. You follow me? And when you get yourself together, you become an actionaire, as I've said in my book, is this new term that I'm hoping everybody goes after. And let me just say in conclusion, you know, I've always told people, you know, I hear people saying, oh, you know, I want to think outside the box. And I usually spank them for that. You know, the reality is, you know, if you're thinking outside of the box, doesn't that presume that you are in a box? And if you're in a box, what's the size of your box? Well, the box, there's no such thing. I mean, there's no such thing as a box. You know, that's just the old boy network telling you to do it the way it's always been done. Don't rock the boat. You know, stay the course. And one day we'll retire you with a fake gold Timex watch. You know, I want us to realize that we need to be about the business of prosecuting your ideas. And I'll say this in conclusion. Just, you know, you got the old boy network, but it's just time to make the changes. If you become an actionaire, as I put in my book, and let's also hope that finally maybe a word a brother has invented can get into Webster's Dictionary. Because after all, most of the words that get in that we create are words like bling bling and bootylicious. Let's get a word that's substantive for a change. Somebody out there, help me get it in some dictionaries. But look, you know, I love talking to our folks. I think it's important for guys like me and ladies like me to step up and do the right thing and speak up and share their ideas and their wisdom. And please, from now on, tell everybody to quit saying "have a nice day." I don't know what that means. In my book, I tell everybody to say to other folks, have an achieving day.
Have an achieving day. I like that.
All right, brother.
That. All right, then. Mike Roberts, get his book, Action Has No Seasons. Mike, your website again is www.mikevroberts.com.
No, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, V, okay, R-O-B-E-R-T-S, michaelvroberts.com, one word.
All right, then. You've got 72 companies, a multimillionaire. Successful in every way. Thank you so very much for taking the time to share your thoughts and ideas. And we're going to make Actionaire in the Webster Dictionary real soon.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much. And to everyone, have an achieving day. Take care.
All right, then. Thank you. All right. Mike Roberts, check out his website. Buy his book, definitely, and become an Actionaire. This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur. Until next time, stay profitable. Go for the sale. Be extraordinary. Brian Hundley, New Wine Music, take us out.